Welcome back to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff. Today is episode number 126, and I want to talk about Krav Maga. One of the best things about having a podcast for me is that I can just get on here and rant. I've got a couple hundred people that will listen to me talk and express my feelings about a topic. Today, that topic is Krav Maga and the problems I have with it. Now, first, let me say that I have never met a Krav Maga expert. I've never been to a class. I have never seen an expert lead and train people. So I don't know what that looks like. I've never been to Israel and seen how they use Krav Maga with their special forces. I would love to. I've seen videos on YouTube, but that's the closest I've come. Now, in real life, the closest I've come to meeting somebody that I would, you know, really respect and listen to their opinion was my cousin, who's a black belt under Gokor Chevechkin. So he's a monster grappler. I really, really respect his opinion on martial arts. His wife had trained Krav Maga for a couple of years. Now, she also was a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu purple belt, and she trained 5 or 6 years of Muay Thai. Now, the gym she trained Krav Maga at also offered Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, boxing, wrestling. They offered the whole package. They were a really big gym in California. Had a lot of different Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts, guys that had trained in Thailand, and they supposedly had two guys that had trained extensively in Israel in Krav Maga. Now, they had Krav Maga classes there that were specifically Krav Maga centered on the techniques for Krav Maga, but they really incorporated it with their Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, with their Muay Thai. They would take the techniques that they felt worked best, and they would just mix it with their other martial arts. And I think that's the best way to train it. Like, any of you guys out there really interested in learning Krav Maga or some of the techniques, I would highly recommend just first, if you can find somebody that is legit, like, good luck doing that. But if you can, train with them, but take some of the techniques, just take a couple of techniques and add it to your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, add it to your wrestling, add it to your stand-up arts. I think that's what's going to work best. It's just like Aikido, Taekwondo, like those arts have a couple of things that are really, really valuable and really, really cool. But in my opinion, like, you don't want to base your entire martial arts experience and your ability to defend yourself on Taekwondo and Aikido. Same thing goes with Krav Maga. Again, especially from what I see and what's definitely offered in a place like Alabama. Now, my experiences with Krav Maga experiences in Alabama, or, you know, just in the Southeast, especially obviously Alabama, well, I'll tell you first, the first person that I ran across that was saying that they were training Krav Maga, this was probably 6 or 7 years ago. I was a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I was a personal trainer at the big gym in Decatur, Alabama. So, gym probably had 500 to 1,000 members. It's a real big gym. And I was a personal trainer, and I was working with a woman who was a brown belt in karate. So she was a brown belt in karate, and she had gotten that in a year and a half. And she would always talk to me about martial arts like she was the expert because she was higher ranked than me, even though we all know Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and karate are so different, especially a karate brown belt that's being given in about a year, year and a half. And one weekend, she went and got her Krav Maga teaching license, or her Krav Maga teaching certificate. It was a like 12-hour course in, I believe, Knoxville, Tennessee. So she went down, I think it was like 4 hours on Friday and like 8 hours on Saturday. But at the end of the weekend, she was certified to teach Krav Maga. And really, you imagine the association is kind of like the IBJJF of Krav Maga. So I don't know exactly what the association was, but they were certifying a group of people in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, this woman, again, a year and a half of experience, basically 12 hours of Krav Maga training, and she was incredibly out of shape. She was obese. She was not in good health, but she was certified to teach Krav Maga. Now, obviously, somebody that, you know, especially now coming almost 10 years on at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it's just now feeling like I'm an expert, like I would qualify myself as an expert. When I hear that, man, 12 hours of training and you're certified to teach, you have a teacher certification to teach from a Krav Maga organization, obviously that looks really, really bad in my eyes. And the other Krav Maga people that I've met in the area that say they train have always been older, they've always been out of shape, and they've always been people that really look down on other martial arts, especially martial arts where there's a lot of live training. It almost seems like it's a cop-out. Like people in this area that are training Krav Maga are using it almost like a cop-out to avoid doing hard training. Things like boxing, things like Muay Thai, obviously Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Because Krav Maga is really, really difficult to train live. So I understand how dangerous the Krav Maga techniques are. You know, we're talking about eye gouges. We're talking about groin shots. We're talking about, you know, twisting people's ears, ripping throats out, you know, really things that are going to incapacitate, that are going to maim and to even kill your adversary. And so you can't train that stuff. Like, you just can't. The best you can do is to just pad somebody up, you know, and I've seen those videos of just these guys, they're all padded up and, you know, they're allowing these women to just, you know, groin shot them 10 times in a row and to act like they're ripping their throats out or acting like they're chopping their neck. But you can't actually train that. And it's very, very difficult to train that with any type of resistance. So what it ends up looking like at most places is like a kata. You're just allowing your opponent to do what they need to do, and you're pretending like an eye rake, you know, actually happened. And so you do the eye rake, the guy bends over in pain, then you knee him in the face. When you knee him in the face, he falls over, and then you stomp him in the groin three times, and then you run away, you know. Or you know, bite their finger off, or you know, whatever. And so anytime it comes to live training or training another martial art, anybody with Krav experience always comes in very skeptical because in their opinion, their martial art is the cream of the crop because it is the most dangerous. It is the most lethal. And so I've heard a few stories of guys that I know, as well as, again, people that I've dealt with, like the woman that, you know, she was a Krav Maga certified. She questioned the how useful Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was, you know, and obviously we're in a gym scenario. So I tried not to ever bring it up because she would always kind of just argue and again pretend like she was the expert, and since I was a lower belt than her in her mind, since I was the purple belt, that her opinion mattered more than mine, even though I'd been training twice as long as her, because at that point I'd been training 3 years, and I was just a brand new purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It didn't matter, you know, she was the expert because she was a brown belt. But Boz Rutten's got a really funny story where he was teaching a seminar. I believe he's just teaching at a school, and a guy was there taking it, and he asked Boz Rutten what Boz would do if he eye gouged him while he was being like rear naked choked. So this guy's getting rear naked choked by Boz Rutten, and the guy defending goes to and he eye gouges Boz Rutten. So again, he interrupts the seminar, asks this question. Boz Rutten brings him out front, puts the guy in a rear naked choke, and he tells the guy, he says, if you try to eye gouge me, I'm going to break your effing neck. And this is a story that I've always found was really funny because, of course, the guy, you know, he ends up rear naked choking the guy. The guy doesn't try to do anything, you know. He taps. He gets the message. And that's what usually happens, you know. I was listening to a story yesterday. One of the Elkins brothers was telling a story of a guy had come in claiming that, you know, he had trained Krav Maga for a couple of years and that, you know, he was, you know, dangerous and all this stuff and that he knew how to defend himself. Well, he was questioning a lot of the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu techniques, and he asked one of the guys teaching, he asked the instructor, what would you do if I did this? And tried to grab and snap his neck real hard, you know. Well, the instructor obviously took him down, manhandled him, controlled him, and basically told him, look, if you take it to that level, imagine what level I could take it to. And it really obviously opened up the guy's eyes. He never came back, unfortunately, but that's usually the case. Again, especially in most of these places that, you know, if you're not in a major, major city, you know, if you're in the middle of Alabama, you really need to question what techniques you are learning and how useful they're going to be in a real life situation. So aside from those two points, and aside from the people that I've met, you know, the couple of people that I've run across over the years, that, you know, have claimed to be Croft practitioners. Another big issue that I have with it is, since you can't do it live, and since you end up, you know, it ends up being like a kata, you end up going through the motions, you just can't rely on that in a self-defense situation. You can't rely on the reactions you're getting because they're not real. Now, one of the special things that I always tell people about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or boxing or Muay Thai is that, since you're actually live training it, since you're actually going against opponents resisting the techniques, it's really going to be as close as you can to simulating a self-defense situation, especially a self-defense situation that, you know, you can train safely day in and day out. You know, obviously, if you were training with knives, for instance, like, hey, you know, your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training partner, one of the guys you train with tonight is going to have a knife, you know, and if he takes the knife out and stabs you, you're dead. Like, I know places that kind of train like that, you know, they'll give their students knives to hide in their, you know, pant pockets and stuff. And I think that stuff's really cool. And I think it really teaches a valuable lesson. But again, for the most part, training for, you know, a guy that has a knife or training for a guy that has a gun is so difficult because it's so hard to replicate and to train that, especially if the guy's trying to kill you or harm you. Like, he's really, really trying to. So you need to be training an art that you can at least, especially hand-to-hand, you need to be training an art where your opponent is resisting, and he's resisting the techniques that you're trying to use in a manner that's realistic to what you're going to see out in the street. So, for instance, just wrestling, for instance. You know, when you're trying to take down another human being, whether it's at the gas station at midnight or in a wrestling room, there's certain reactions that you can expect. Now, obviously, the skilled training partner is going to be trying to get their hips away. They're going to be trying to pummel for underhooks. They're going to be trying to win inside spaces. They're going to be trying to take you down as well. When you can take somebody down that is skilled, that is trying to stop you from taking you down, that, again, know all these defenses and know all the offensive counters, then going out in the street and using that at a guy that's drunk, that's already off balance because he's drunk, is going to be so much easier. It's going to be so much easier. I mean, you look at takedowns in a lot of these self-defense videos. I mean, it's really just the easy, a little trip here, a little foot sweep there, a double leg, a single leg. Like, guys fall immediately, especially since most people are sedentary. They're not these super athletes. You know, a lot of the people are, you know, drunk and 50 pounds overweight. Getting a takedown super easy. Okay. Now, if you're doing Krav Maga, your options are going to be like, you know, again, the options are just going to be so much more violent. And if you're not sure, so like in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I know where to stop. Like, after, again, almost 10 years of training, I know when somebody's asleep. I know how far I can push a heel hook or an arm bar before it snaps and pops. With Krav Maga, you don't know, like, how much damage you can cause with an eye gouge. You don't know where the stopping point is. You just don't know because you've never actually applied the technique. So who knows? You might scoop somebody's eyeball out, or you might bite somebody's finger off. Or you might twist somebody's nose. I don't know. You know, you might rip somebody's throat out and then you kill them. You know, where in reality, that situation really just required you to get a takedown, really control the guy until somebody else can help you. I mean, I've seen so many videos where guys that just know basic grappling have not had to hurt somebody, have not had to maim them, have not had to, you know, really put themselves in a situation to get sued or even put in jail, because they just controlled the situation like an expert. And I think that control, that level of control, is what really, really sets apart guys that know their art, that practice their art, and that are experts at their art, compared to people that really don't know what they're doing and really don't know what they're talking about. Now, yesterday, somebody had asked me, did I believe that Krav Maga was a great tool for the police to have? Like, should police officers be training in Krav Maga? And again, what I just told you guys, same thing applies. You know, imagine, okay, we're living in a world today where, look, police officers shouldn't be just randomly going up and hitting people. They should be, again, controlling the situation, putting bad guys, you know, in handcuffs and taking them to jail. You know, that's obviously the perfect world. Now, obviously, when you're out there in the street and you're dealing with a resisting opponent, anything can happen, especially if you don't know if that guy's got a gun or a knife, a needle. Like, man, there's so many questions that need to be answered. But in a perfect world, you know, cops shouldn't be just, again, going around hitting people, kicking people, beating the crap out of people. Five cops shouldn't be beating up people. But when I hear somebody ask about Krav Maga as the potential answer to police brutality, it's like, dude, you talk about a storyline, cop eye gouges, you know, suspect and leaves him blind. Like, imagine how that would look in the media. Imagine how many people would protest over that. I mean, that would be 10 times worse than a cop just, you know, hitting somebody five or six times. Like, hey, that cop didn't just hit him. He took his eye. Or, man, that cop ripped his, you know, ripped that guy's ear off or bit that guy's finger off. Like, dude, you know, Krav Maga is really only intended for life and death situations. Like, you have to know this is a life and death situation. It has to be like wartime. Like, Israel is pretty much always in a state of war. You know, all their neighbors hate them. They're always getting bombed. You know, they're always bombing people as well. So they're in a state of war where, again, like, hey, you know, you end up hand-to-hand combat with, you know, an enemy. Like, you're expected to. There is no punishment for ripping a guy's throat out or, you know, kicking him in the balls eight times until his, you know, balls bust. Like, that's expected, you know. That's just not the way America is, you know. People are expecting you to actually be less violent. People are expecting you to be more, they want you to become less savage, which that's a whole nother episode, but I think that's one of the worst things we can do is to make people less savage. You know, we need that. We need to fight. We need to be able to defend ourselves. But Krav Maga, in my opinion, is not the answer unless you're training other arts. If you're training other arts like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, Muay Thai, you're adding it in as well as going to the gun range. You know, you're certified with your gun. You're going to the gun range a couple times a month, making sure you're training, you're being responsible, you know, sky's the limit. And I think your ability to defend yourself really will just go through the roof. You know, I would not mind learning a few Krav Maga techniques. I would not mind learning, you know, training, you know, the proper way to even do a groin shot or to, you know, do some of the Krav Maga, like raking the face or whatever it is. Like, I wouldn't mind training that a little bit. But again, I don't ever want that to be the main focus of my training, as well as I don't want that to be the main focus of anybody I know's training. You know, I want it to be a tool that can make them, you know, maybe a little bit more secure in a really bad situation, or, you know, a girl's out late at night and, you know, a guy comes up and is trying to take her. Like, that's when I want her to know a couple of those techniques. But I also want her to have a good background in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and hopefully some type of stand-up art. So I hope that answers any type of Krav Maga questions that you guys might have. As I said, I don't quite know. Like, I don't know if there's anybody that's super legit teaching Krav Maga in the state of Alabama. All the people I've run across have either been guys that, you know, I guess I'll end this with saying my last point is a lot of karate schools are using hot martial arts. So they'll use jiu-jitsu or they'll use Krav Maga and they'll advertise or they'll tell people that they're training it. And in reality, they haven't been certified by anybody, or maybe they've gone and done some, you know, crap Japanese jiu-jitsu, you know, weekend-long immersion where they're getting certified, or a Krav Maga, you know, weekend-long certification. But they're telling people that they can teach it and that they're legit and that they're training. And you really need to be very cautious of any karate school that's offering any other martial art than karate. Because a lot of karate schools, you know, they're kind of feeling like their time has passed. It's just what it seems like to me. There's all these other martial arts people, you know, kind of the karate hype from the movies, you know, from Bruce Lee to Jet Li and Jackie Chan. I mean, everybody wanted to train karate because it was the most popular art. Well, now these other arts are starting to gain ground and are starting to really take over instead of going and learning the other arts. Like, hey, I want to be able to teach Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Well, just go and get a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt. Like, I have no problem with a guy that's a lifelong karate, you know, expert going and getting a blue belt and telling people that, hey, yeah, we train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu here. I teach it, but I'm a blue belt under this guy. And I know a couple of karate practitioners that are doing that. And I think that is amazing. And I think that's where martial arts really shine, is when we can get together as a community and learn each other's arts, but not, again, do it in a fraudulent way, and not do it where we're claiming to be an expert or claiming, like, I would never tell a parent here, hey, you know, yeah, we teach karate. Oh, you're interested in karate? We teach karate. And we have so many karate black belts here, you know, but parents do call sometimes and ask for, hey, you know, we had a kid last month that was looking for more of a karate style. He tried our class, didn't really like the grappling. He wanted to do stand-up karate. You know, he was 11 years old. He wanted to do karate. And I recommended him and that they go to the karate school that's probably 5 to 10 miles away from us. That's the way it should be handled. But be very, very cautious of anybody claiming to teach Krav Maga. Be cautious of anybody saying that police officers should be training Krav Maga, because, in my opinion, it's the farthest thing from the truth. But please message me if you know anybody that's super legit in Alabama. You're like, no, Matt, you're wrong. This guy, he is legit. He's went and trained in Israel, or he's went and, you know, he lived out in California for 5 years and was training under this guy. Let me know, because, again, I could be way off base with the Krav Maga training taking place in Alabama, or even just the southeast part of the United States. You guys, make sure you check out the PGF tomorrow at 6 p.m. We are back after having the week off. I know all the competitors are dying to get back on the mat. We do have a couple of guys that will not be here tomorrow. So Kanan Brooks, I believe, is out. Who else? Mike Johnson is out. I think Caleb McAllister won't be here because his 2 or 3 matches got canceled because those guys weren't going to be here. So any of you guys looking for that, you know, looking for that fantasy info, there you go, man. Those are 3 guys that will not be here. So do not put them on your fantasy team, especially Caleb McAllister. He was a guy I was planning on playing. You are going to take a 0 if you use Caleb McAllister. But stream will start 5:30 live on YouTube. I'll be back on the mic. I appreciate all you guys listening and really giving me confidence and giving me positive things, saying positive things about my commentary. I really, really enjoy doing it. And I've been trying to study and listen to guys, you know, just commentate sports. I've been watching a lot of NBA. It's a lot of NBA in particular. And just listen to how guys, like the experts, you know, whether it's Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson, Van Gundy, just listen to how they talk about the game. And I think at times I might talk a little too much on the broadcast. I might try and slow it down just a little bit this week. But yeah, we'll see. Check it out. Tune in tomorrow. Love you guys. Peace.